what you have to say to us, that we have the provision to be able to speak to our kids in a way that relates to them. And so, God, I just pray for their time together in Sunday school. I pray for their teachers and the helpers, that they will just have a blessed time learning about how much you love them and just how much they are a part of your family. And we just thank you for our kids. In your name, amen. All right. The final Sunday before Christmas. Who's got all their presents wrapped? Some people are overly prepared. Well done to you. That is my job tonight, is to getting to wrap the presents, but it's one of my favorite jobs. And I love to put on Christmas music and sit there with just like the joy fill in the air and make them all look pretty and perfect. And Johnny's probably going to watch the Oilers if they're playing tonight. No, good. That's all right then. We might actually get to watch a Christmas film while it happens, but that's what we get to do tonight. I'm not usually this unprepared. But Christmas songs, a time of the season where we get to listen to certain songs pretty much for only the month of December. We sing songs in church that we pretty much only sing the month of December, and then we put them away until the following year. We sing some fantastic theological songs today that don't just span the month of December, that we have placed as the day we celebrate Jesus' birth, but spans the entire lifetime of Christ, the entire message of why he came at all. Born as a baby 2,000 years ago, what we get to celebrate. And songs are powerful. Our kids have been around singing songs. Maddie's Christmas concert was the 12 Days of Christmas, and so we've heard that a lot. We have heard We Wish You a Merry Christmas. We've heard Jingle Bells with Batman Smells, and regular ones too. Songs convey a message. Songs get stuck in your head. The message of the songs then gets stuck in your head, whether it's Batman Smells or it's Jesus was born in a stable and away in a manger. And whatever it might be, the message of songs stick. They're powerful. And the message, when you sing it, is conveyed to whoever listens. And chances are it gets stuck in their head too. This morning, we're going to be looking at a song that was sung by the mother of Jesus. After the Holy Spirit appeared and conceived the child within her, the angel told her what was going to take place. She went on a journey that would have been very dangerous for her as a young, unwed, pregnant woman in Israel at that time. She went on a journey to visit her aunt, who was older and barren. They didn't have texts. They didn't even have email or a phone to be able to call ahead and share the message that I'm carrying the Son of God. And Elizabeth wouldn't have been able to share the message with Mary that she, as well, was pregnant. So Mary makes this dangerous journey. And when she arrives at the house of Elizabeth, her aunt, she probably arrived with some trepidation and fear, because in that day and age, in that culture, to be a young, unwed, pregnant woman had consequences, which often was stoning at your family's doorstep. And so to arrive at Elizabeth's house, knowing the state that she was in, not knowing the response and the welcome that she would be received with, there was probably a bit of fear. But something amazing happens that day. Mary knocks, the door opens, and Elizabeth is standing there. And this is what we read in Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 39. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Probably not the greeting that Mary was expecting, but what a beautiful change of expectations. For Mary to be greeted, being called blessed. Nobody would have called her blessed in her situation. And yet Elizabeth knew, because the baby inside of her knew, that there was something special about Mary. Something amazing, something miraculous, something that as Israel has been looking forward to for generations. And there she was standing in their living room, babies jumping for joy, excitement, filling of the Holy Spirit. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do as he has said. And Mary responds in song. Songs are powerful. Songs convey a message. Songs had been passed down through generations within the people of Israel, reminding them of the stories of where they've come from. And Mary's song is one of praise, and she responds to Elizabeth's response with a song. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of this lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his children forever. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. If I was musical, I might have been able to put that to a tune, but I'm not, so you just had it read. But that's okay. This song is almost a mirror image of this of a song of deliverance and God's faithfulness that was sung in the exile. Not in the exile, before then. The Exodus. I knew it started with EX. Almost there, a few hundred years earlier. It's a very similar song that Miriam would have sung to remind the people to rejoice in God's deliverance, his salvation from Egypt, his faithfulness to the people of Israel. Because Mary's song here is a promise of hope. It's rejoicing in a promise of hope. It's a present tense song. She's singing it in the here and now, but it's about a promise that is still being fulfilled. The significance of that is that as she's singing this, she's being able to rejoice and praise in the moment for something that hasn't quite been fulfilled. Looking forward in anticipation, as we looked at, not with fear and trembling, but in excitement to the day that God has promised, yet rejoicing and living in that moment now with the Son of God in her belly, in her very soul, in her inside. She is carrying the Son of God, and she's rejoicing for the fact that her aunt has recognized this, called her blessed. But the blessing isn't just for her. It's for Israel. It's for the world. Because it's that promise of hope that the people have been waiting for, singing about in anticipation. Because songs are powerful. They are praise. They are joy. Last night we watched Elf. And I couldn't help but think when your buddy the Elf was going, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is to sing it loud for all to hear. That's what Mary's doing. She's singing it loud for all to hear. That's why we gather together at church, to sing it loud for all to hear. The angels appeared to the shepherds. What did they do? Oh, by the way, the Son of God's been born in Bethlehem. No, glory to God. They sing it loud for the mountains to hear. Christmas Eve, we're going to join together tomorrow to sing it loud for all to hear that Christ has been born. The promise has come. And we are living in that day when we are expecting and waiting for the fulfillment. But we can live in the moment, in that hope, singing out the good news, letting those songs embed into our minds. It's more than jingle bells. It's Emmanuel, God with us. We remember songs. Even when your memory goes, one of the most amazing things to me is when you sit with people who have dementia, is that quite often they can still sing. Quite often that is still at the forefront of their minds. The praise and the worship. We remember songs. We remember the stories in songs. Mary sang a song that echoed a song that she'd been learned as a child, and yet she knew a new meaning to it, a new element of redemption, a new element of God's faithfulness. Her song reminds us who we are. It gives us strength to stand when we feel that we can't, because of God's faithfulness. It's a kingdom shifter. Israel was living under Roman oppression. It's a kingdom shifter to say, God's not finished. The weak will be made strong. God's mighty arm will rescue us. They remind us, songs do, that we belong to a different kingdom. And it wasn't just in response to her blessedness. It was in response to the way that God was blessing the entire world. Because her promise of hope in her song is a promise for all of us. We have a song to sing. We have been blessed to bless others. Mary didn't hold it inside. She didn't conceal it. She didn't go, oh, God has blessed me and I'm going to keep this to myself. She sang it. She proclaimed it. And that's the same as us. We have been given an incredible blessing. And we've got to proclaim it. We've got to share it. We're going to listen to a song that I know I've played before here, and the lyrics will be up as well. But I just wanted you to hear them before you hear them in song. The verse, the chorus mainly. How many kings have stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their son for me? Only one did that for me. That is our message of hope this Christmas. That is our promise of hope this Christmas. We see in the faithfulness of Mary to her God and God's faithfulness to the world through that servant girl who said yes to God. Promise of hope. Only one God offers that. And that is the God we celebrate this season through song, through fellowship, through proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to share in communion as well. And I ask that you hold your cup of juice and your cracker. It is all gluten-free, so everybody can share together. If you hold it while we listen to this song, and then we will share in the elements together as we rejoice in a Savior who has been born to us. Father God, we just thank you that we can come together in your name, that you have called us your family, your children, that you have been faithful in providing the way for salvation. So God, we just give you ourselves. In your name. Amen. Board,